I'm Scott Heiferman. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Meetup, where we are trying to bring people together in real life to form communities all around the world.
And, I mean, Meetup is, I'm not sure if it's completely up there with something like Google, but because it was an existing word in the dictionary already, but still, often when people talk about Meetup, I would say about at least 7 times out of 10, they're talking about a Meetup on Meetup.com.
Well, I would say it's the opposite. I would say it's 3 out of 10.
Okay,
but which is something we're proud to have like kind of ushered in, you know, the noun of Meetup, the notion that you know there's a thing called a Meetup.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess in theory, and I mean, I saw you very briefly speak at a Meetup last night. It was a Meetup for Meetup organizers with a guy from Meetup.
Look, our heads are up our asses so high right now.
Well, actually, I mean, but this was the impression I got that in some respects it's interesting because people would lump Meetup in as a technology company, but it's actually very much not that. And you're very much focused. I mean, the entire business is on getting people in a room together, despite some meetups that have like VoIP calls and things like that. Mm-hmm. But they're a minority. So what was your background and the other founders' background? Where did you come from and why did you decide to start Meetup.com in the first place?
By the way, we call it Meetup, not Meetup.com. That was the old .com days, early days.
Well, but no, it's a good question. My internet life in 99.
So. I had been involved in a couple of other internet companies that were, you know, a couple of them successful, one of them not. But it's a really good question. We do, you know, we do consider ourselves a technology company because what the people at the company are actually doing all day is mostly engineering and development design. So we're making technology, but we're, you know, using the internet to get people off the internet, using people's phones to get people off their phones and forming communities. The backgrounds were in the technology space, but definitely with an eye, at least, you know, speaking for me at least, was I was disillusioned with the technology industry. I felt like, you know, what is the world we want? What are we making? What's the point? And you know, you just ask yourself, well, what is the best thing in the world? And you know, and I think the best thing in the world is when people come together and bands are born and businesses are born and babies are born and all kinds of things happen. All kinds of things happen when people connect. So that's what I wanted to help do.
Mm-hmm. And do you? I think there was. I mean, the interesting thing with a platform like Meetup, and we noticed this last night at the organizers' meetup, was that there's a lot of positives that come out of the platform, but a lot of people tend to focus on the problems they have. Mm. So do you tend to find that the platform is used in very particular ways or in particular groups or groups of people, or is it becoming, depending where in the world an event is happening, it's reasonably broad reach?
Well, first off, to the millions of people that are going to meetups every month, it's not, you know, it's not like they're not concerned with the problems that meetup organizers have, and you know, and it's just a generally magical thing that that impacts people's lives and feels good, it's interesting. We call 24 categories of meetups, and no category represents more than 10 or 15%. And we just broadly feel like we're actually on the we're at the cusp of a renaissance of this. We started Meetup 10 years too early, frankly. Like the culture wasn't ready for it. Like if you had started Airbnb 10 years before Airbnb started, it just wouldn't have happened. And so the moment was right for. You know, when something really takes off, the moment is right for it, and now the moment is right for Meetup. I think that, you know, we're in a world that is kind of tearing people apart, and they're hungry to come together.
In terms of modern technology company perspective, it actually feels like Meetup has been around for a reasonably long period of time. it hasn't really, but
well, 15 years is
which in internet years is like cat years, maybe.
Exactly.
So what, how do you as a company keep ahead of what to do next and how to keep innovating yourselves and keeping new people coming on board?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm glad you're recognizing that we would even be thinking like that. A lot of people just say, oh, you build something and you're not really doing much. We are, you know, we've doubled the size of the team the past couple of years to just go really heavy in basically, you know, how do we make the whole new versions of Meetup? Mm-hmm. How do we reimagine everything? And it's not going to be some big reveal on a new thing, but we're just aggressively trying to make Meetup better and better and better. But we have a pretty clear vision about what that's going to mean 2 or 3 years out. And it's going to be, you know, and it's you know, we think it's going to be, you know, it's going to unleash a lot of good when you just make it easier for people to meet up.
Because, I mean, visually, the platform doesn't look like it's changed a massive amount, but I guess there's been a lot of changes behind the scenes or the way you're managing things and...
The reason why there aren't a lot of like 15-year-old internet companies that aren't Google or something like that.
Google only changed their logo a couple of years ago.
Yeah. No, we're it's because you frankly rack up a lot of what they call technical debt and product debt and brand debt and we've made the hard choices over the past year and a half to invest a ton in just basically making everything fresh so that we can build on a fresh foundation and make the future versions of Meetup. I mean, frankly, I'm just obsessed with what the future versions of Meetup are. If I couldn't do it within Meetup, I would quit and do it, you know, and start fresh some other way. But I feel like it's an amazing opportunity to get this. You know, we get 500,000 new people joining every month currently. Yeah. We get 500,000 new people joining every month. And so it's just this incredible sort of opportunity and duty to make it good, because it could be really good.
Where do your user numbers kind of sit in the grand scheme of all the various sort of online networks?
Well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we're pipsqueak. I mean, you know, Facebook has 2 billion active users, and we, we'll have maybe 5 million people go to a meetup over a 2-3 month period. Right. Now, there's a lot
of commitment.
There's a big difference between going to a meetup and, you know, not even liking, but just like, you know, wanting to be a voyeur on your friend's photos. But you know, we hold ourselves to that high standard of like, because that's why we exist as a company.
So what were you here at Tech Open Air to speak about?
I could have taken the easy route, but I decided to say I'm gonna just wing it and talk about what I think the world's gonna be 10 years from now.
Okay.
2027. But the thing is, I'm not so interested in the nuances of where VR will be and exactly where AI will be, or, you know, and I don't so much care about like what the, you know, driverless space laser planes are going to be. What I was focused on is how will this ability to have real social infrastructure and real, a phenomenally higher level of connectivity between people, what that's going to mean for them actually forming communities that are going to be meaningful in their life.
So I've actually seen, I saw you mention some statistics yesterday, and I saw someone from your team mention something at Web Summit last year, and some of the numbers contradict each other. But it was 6 months ago. So in terms of where do you see... which cities, I guess, or areas do you see your biggest growth rates at the moment?
Germany happens to be our fastest growing country right now, and we have just various spots of countries in Asia and countries in Europe are generally the fastest growing right now.
Is Meetup usable in China, or
I've gone to lots of meetups in China. I mean, it's sort of dependent on, you know, sometimes it's available without a VPN, you know, that virtual private network that some people use, and sometimes it's not. So it's kind of hit or miss. But yeah, there's a lot. I went on a really fun meetup crawl in China last year.
Here's a new opportunity in itself, a meetup. Yeah. Well, I think this happens quite on a regular basis, actually.
Right. There's a lot there, but you know, we're kind of, China is not a focus of ours. We're starting to focus on other countries.
It was, I lived in a place just south of here called Leipzig for a little while, which in terms of meetups in the broad sense of the word, it was pretty lean. Mm. And in terms of meetup, it was also quite lean.
Mm.
I mean, Berlin is kind of the crazy opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say you have a growth in Germany, is it focused around particular places or is it becoming more across the board?
Well, it is actually, you know, Stefan, my colleague here, who's keeping an eye on a whole bunch of places, might answer that better than me. I think it's in the few cities where the growth is really happening. Hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually Munich, Hamburg, Cologne, of course, the big capitals of Germany. But as well, it's a lot going on in Karlsruhe, Stuttgart, Heidelberg. Mm. And I guess it's one I haven't...
But lots of big university cities. I don't know why Leipzig was quite quiet. But
No, we got a long way... Sorry, please.
Well, Meetup is, of course, first about tech. So a lot of people in Germany... Meetup because they work for a tech company or they are expats started to work somewhere or study somewhere.
Yeah.
And then we see when we manage to be in the tech area, then we go broader and you can also find a running or whatever meetup here in Berlin. Mm. And that's probably harder in Heidelberg or in Karlsruhe, but it's coming quicker and quicker.
Mm. I know you're tight on time today, and so I guess maybe in two final questions.
Mm-hmm.
One would be, what are you planning next?
Mm.
And the second would be probably the one that is useful to a lot of people is kind of, what's your top three tips for organizing and attending a meetup?
Oh, okay, cool. So what we're working on, like the most exciting time yet for what we're actually building and gonna put out there in the world is over this next year or two, because we're making a kind of transformative shift from fundamentally people having to press a button that says I'm gonna start a meetup, which is hard and awkward and which obviously works. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of meetup groups, so people do start that, press that button. But long story short, we kind of think of it as like, we call it self-driving meetups. Like how is it that the computers can start the meetup using smart data? You know, computers doing what computers can do, but humans doing what only humans can do. So humans doing the caring and humans doing the creativity and humans are the meetups. But, you know, we find that there's this behavior, what we call cell dividing and spawning, which is that, you know, a meetup will happen in one part of town or one town. And then someone says, hey, I want to start that meetup over here. And we know that there's demand for that other kind of meetup over there. So why wait for someone to start it if we can help, you know, kind of trigger it?
To fill in the gaps where there are gaps.
Yeah, and bottom line is we can just make it so much easier to be a meetup organizer, which, to your second question, I would say top three tips are for going, one is to not forget to actually get people to talk to each other.
Mm.
So, it sounds obvious, but, you know, you bring people together, they're together in a room, whether it's a small meetup or a big meetup, whether it's people looking at a stage or people, in a circle or milling about, you really actually have to give people license and context to talk to each other, to say, okay, now talk to each other and give them and make them feel welcome.
This is especially true in Europe, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. The second thing I would say is to build a leadership team. Build a leadership team. No meetup group should be just like one person who's doing all the work and carrying all the burden you know, like, ask people to help you. Ask people to help you. Say, hey, you know, will you be the greeter? Will you be the sign person? Will you be the name tag person? Will you be the, you know, and just build a team of people. The most amazing meetup groups I've seen have these, like, very rich and dense, like, you know, very, and it's nothing fancy. It's not like you're building an organization. Just get people to take different roles. Mm. And then the last thing I would say is, you know, people should not be shy about, sometimes they're afraid to say, oh, you know, I like this meetup, but I'd like to start one that's more perfect for me. And for everyone to be cool with that. So if there's a woman at that tech meetup who says, whatever it is, if you're at a meetup and you want a version of that meetup closer to your work or your home, or you want a version of that meetup that's just for women, or you want a version of that meetup that is, you know, with no, you know, newbies and only experienced people. Mm-hmm. If you want a version of that meetup with you know, people with you know, that is at the, that is on the weekend and not the weekdays, because you prefer weekends, start that meetup and don't feel like you're offending everyone. So just, you know, that's the advice, is like to not be shy about saying, like, I'm going to start the perfect one for me.
So, attendees don't necessarily fear becoming organizers,
right?
And then, yeah, and then you'll respect your organizer.
But organizer doesn't need to be this thing, especially if everyone's helping you out. Yeah. It could just, I know it's intimidating sometimes.
Well, just in time as we finish.
Hi there. Hi, I'm
Scott. It was a great talk. I enjoyed it.
Oh,
okay. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm guessing.
What's your last name?
Lawrence.
Okay.
Do you have to finish right now?
You know, I've got 5 minutes.
Do you have any questions specifically on the talk, Kate?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a very interesting talk.
Splice it back in the middle of the interview somehow.
Okay, you mentioned the idea that people will still want that face-to-face human contact, even if we have all these technologies in 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think other people will use the social media as a conduit for, instead of Meetup?
Well, I think social media is going to, you know, we're not going to be able to recognize it 10 years from now. I mean, like, it, you know, whether how it's going to evolve is going to be phenomenally interesting, you know, whether in a VR way and all the ways we just can't imagine. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's going to be deeply embedded in people's lives. Now, whether that makes you, and it's going to be really satisfying, and it's going to be really, like, irresistible, you know, like, we all know what it feels like for our phones to be irresistible.
Yeah.
But, and so, listen, it's a fork in the road. Either we're going to go towards, like, just human contact and human connections, you know, physical relationships being just like a thing, you know, we're just going to, like, devolve as a species, or there is something inside of us which hungers for it. Mm. And I think that there will be be interesting sort of revivals. And I don't just mean that in a vinyl or cassette tape way, you know, a cute subculture of people who meet up. But the most important thing is going to be that there's real relationships and communities and reliant sort of, like, that you're actually going to really have those dozen people that you're getting together with every week or every month.
I think that's the thing that really struck me from your talk, when you spoke of people that were meeting all the time.
Yeah.
So therefore they were building relationships over time. You know, we're at an era where, you know, you could meet many, many people. We have Facebook friends, many of whom we've never met. We have Twitter friends, etc. But the idea of building relationships is something that you need to have that face-to-face contact.
Right, and it's beautiful. I heard the story last night of a woman. I love the story that she's like, travels a lot, and she loves that she can just, like, pop into a meetup in any city. Yeah. We've all maybe done that.
A lot of people here
love it. Love it, love it, love it. But that's great. But what's also great is, and I'm frankly even more interested in, is not the sort of transient, you know, kind of like, it's nice to be able to show up and feel welcomed and have a good experience.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in how these true communities form. And communities are when people can really rely on each other. And that's not a one-off thing.
One of my favorite meetups here that has grown a really nice community, and it's expanded from Meetup, because Meetup doesn't provide those kind of... It connects people, but then sort of stops from there, and you find other ways to then communicate. It's actually a board game meetup here.
Oh, really?
I'm kind of sad to see that none of the organizers from it were there last night, because it's quite a big group. And it's a very, again, it's a retro. Actually, the board games are cool again now.
Uh-huh.
The group is big, but also there's a couple of regular meetups that happen every week. But a lot of us get together outside of that as well, because we've got to know a group of people that we enjoy playing with, and we will just organize amongst ourselves as well, but we would have never met each other in the first place without this regular group. And there's a Brett Spiels of Board Game Con here on the weekend, and the organizer was getting people to help out on a booth there. We go to the Essen Spielemesse once a year together, and so it kind of branches off into these other things from it. And I think that's kind of one of the interesting challenges you have, that lots of things come because of Meetup, but you don't necessarily know they've happened, because the tools don't happen on Meetup. It's an interesting challenge, but it's a positive one, because you've achieved your aim, but you don't know it.
Well,
much feedback like that from groups?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we get that's great stories every day. That's nice. But no, that's going to be one of the big things that we do over the next few years, which is to get those stories, not for press. I mean, not just for the obvious reasons you might think, but actually because you should be able to look at a meetup and know whether it's one that is changing people's lives or not, and how. In other words, some language meetups are more about making friends than they are about learning the language, which is great. So you should know if you want to make friends, you go to that one. If you want to learn the language, go to that one. So we really want to build into the product, this idea of how are we in the easiest, lightest way form, kind of asking people. So what, has this meetup changed your life? And why and how, and if so, to kind of, show that to people. Mm.
That's awesome.
Cool. I think that's enough.
One last question. Yeah. If I could ask you to relay again, because I enjoyed the answer so much. You mentioned the weirdest or the oddest meetup you've been to.
Oh.
And the Elvis's. Mm. Maybe you can tell that.
Oh, yeah. That one, yeah. well, yeah, no, this is in Singapore. There's an Elvis subculture in most places in the world, I would guess, and just so happens that there's a big one in Singapore. And so there was this is going back a few years, but there were these two competing Elvis meetups that hated each other, and they were always trying to outdo each other, and for who had the most amazing meetups, and they put on these performances, and they just, I just was waiting for the day that there was some sort of gunfire at the competing Singapore Elvis meetups.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. That's a great story. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Hey.
I didn't know what to think.
Maybe that's why I like it. I've been dealing with a lot of abstract stuff.